Thank you so much for tuning in to the Hillside Church Podcast. We believe God loves you, your past doesn't define you, and that God has good days ahead. Thanks for listening to the sermon. Our hope is that it equips you, inspires you, and encourages you in your faith.
Yes, yes, yes. Let's applause those here for the first time. Come on, welcome them. All right. Hey, we see you online too. I want to invite you, if you take it in church online, just grab that applause. That was for you too. We want to honor you, welcome you if you're online as well. Those listening online, come on. Glad that you grabbed the podcast. I'm excited to preach today, excited to bring a message today. I've got several verses, so we'll just leave it there, okay? You could turn to them as I mention them in your Bible. I don't got one spot. I got several spots, so you could take notes on those in a moment. But before we get there, just a quick one for us, just a quick laugh today. I heard about these two men, the Pope and a lawyer. They died on the same day, everybody. St. Peter met them at the gate and said, "Follow me, I'll take you to your mansions." Peter dropped the Pope off at this small wood frame house. One bed, one table, nothing to it. He then took the lawyer to this magnificent house. It was huge. Had a big swimming pool, beautiful view out back. The lawyer was overwhelmed. He said, "St. Peter, how did I managed to get this spectacular place, and the Pope only got this small place?" Peter said, "We have dozens of popes. You're the first lawyer." Oh my gosh. We love all those working in law, and we're grateful for you. And man, we believe God's grace covers. No, I'm just playing. All right. Hey, you'll see it up on the screen. How to church. Listen, there's things in your life that if we sat down and had coffee, you'd have a thought, ooh, I could teach him how to, for those paying attention in the ministry moment or the transition there, how to girl talk, you might be able to help me out on, or how to edge your yard perfectly. All right. Some of you may be like, how to behave. I remember getting taught that a lot in my younger years. How to budget, how to pray, that's a good thing, spiritually speaking, how to grow, you know, healthy. I'm learning right now how to eat. I learned I can't eat like I did as a freshman in college. Come on, y'all ever learned that? Like fried mini corn dogs catch up with you. I don't know, that's just for free. I'm not saying that's a prophetic word, but it might be. Okay, it might be for you, but we've been in a series, How to Church. We launched it last week, and these are simple. Everybody say simple. 1, 2, 3, simple. Like, you're not going to leave here scratching your head like, whoa, he just dropped a Hebrew, Greek, Aramaic, theologically deep word on me. We have those, but that's not this series, or I usually don't use them to preach. But we've been in a simple to understand series. And I framed it in such a way that there are 5 ways to get the most out of church. Last week was attend. And listen, if you thought that was good, well, buckle up. Today's even better. Okay. So I want you to see today's message and all of these sermons through this lens. This pastor, or my pastor, is coming alongside me and encouraging me how to get the most out of church life, all right? So last week, attend. Yeah, it helps, all right? And for all those not attending, listen, that's not the sermon. The sermon is actively participating in a local church, being part of a life-giving local church body. You're going to miss some Sundays here and there, and that is perfectly A-okay. It's over the long narrative, the long arc, if you will, of your story, being plugged in, attending a local church. Well, today's is give. Week number one, attend. Week number two, give. Giving is a dynamic discipline to getting the most out of church life. I love giving to the local church. I have given to the local church since I started earning money. My first job, officially, was at River Falls Car Wash. Any of you remember River Falls Car Wash? We lived here for like 3 years in my junior high days. And I've looked back and I've thought, I don't know if legally I was supposed to work 50 hours a week back then. But I did, and I enjoyed it. Well, that was my first job, and man, it was amazing. Had very little expenses back then, joyfully gave, joyfully participated in giving. There's something about giving to the local church and actively participating in generosity. And hear this. This is not a high pressure. It's not even a low pressure. There's no manipulation, no guilt in any of this. I just firmly believe God will lead you. God will grow you as you continue to learn how loved you are by God and how the words of Jesus are actually true in and over your life. I believe over time, he will grow this arm, so to speak, of your faith. Just like attending, that's a discipline as well as the other three now. Dynamics, how to get the most out of church. It's something God does in our lives. It's something he activates. It's not according to our own strength or our own ability or our own maturity. No, it's something that as we stay in step with him, as we continue to walk with him, we begin to come alive in this area of our hearts. And to be quite frank, it makes perfect sense. I don't fully know the idea of God that you live under right now, but I will say for myself, I found God to be the most happy, joyful, generous person I have ever met, ever. He is abounding in love. He is abounding in second chances. He is abounding in mercy. He's abounding in grace. And I knew I could spend a whole message just on that, so I limited myself to four verses describing this nature of God. John 3:16 is a very famous one. It says this, for God so loved the world that he what? Say the word. Gave his one and only son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's a foundation in some ways of our faith. God loves you and God has made all the steps towards you. It's our role to receive that, amen, even as we sung so well in a couple of our worship songs, receiving, not striving, receiving what he's done for us. 2 Corinthians 9:8-15, just again describing what's taking place in our lives with the Lord, and God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. That's beautiful. That's the Father we serve. This one is for free. It's out of Psalms, but God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. It's incredible. He's so abundant. He's so faithful. You know, God is not anxious about anything. That's a good thought. That's for free right there. God isn't anxious about anything. He's not surprised about anything. He's a complete peace. His closet, so to speak, is full from end to end. He is everything we need, and he will lovingly give it to us. Psalm 23:1, one of my favorite passages of scripture. It's an invitation to a new way of living. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I spent a year with just that one time. It's just beautiful. Lord, reorient my life to see this. Invite me into it. Let me step into that reality. Because how many of you know it's often quoted, famous quoted scripture? And I noticed there was a little bit of dichotomy in the way I was living. I was like, well, the Lord's my shepherd, but I still got some wants. Maybe there's, when I find that tension in scripture, I'm like, oh, maybe there's a learning point for me. And I'm not there some days. Other days, it's a lot better than some days. But that's where I want to live, is knowing, hey, the Lord's my shepherd. I shall not want. He's going to meet everything we could need. In Psalm 34:10, this fourth one here, the young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Amen. Hear this. If there's anything you get out this message, and next week's, and the next week, and the week after that, seek God. Keep seeking God. Keep seeking Him. Over time, just like the Israelites in Egypt, He moves you from Egypt, never enough, to the wilderness, just enough, to the promised land, more than enough. So that's what He does in and through our lives. Amen. Amen. And so you may say, well, does God love me in never enough? Absolutely. Absolutely. There's not a dollar amount or a cent amount you can give that can get Him to love you any more than He already does. When you got nothing, when you're not even sure where you stand, can I tell you God's heart full on love towards you? But I believe as we continue seeking God, let that be key, He begins to move us into a place of peace, place of abundance. And there are seasons of restoration, amen? There are seasons of renovation as well. It's something God does in our life. So I took some time just to frame today's message with a little bit of this. Don't be surprised if. It's a subtle pastoral tool. As you grow in your relationship with God, well, how about this? Don't be surprised. I got three for you. Number one, don't be surprised if God grows your capacity for generosity. Don't be surprised. Like, don't be shocked. Like, I've occasionally have those moments where it's like, you want me to do what? Woo. That was pizza. But I'm not eating pizza, so maybe it was the steak. You know, it's like, ooh, I don't know about that. But don't be surprised. I want to tell you that to everyone in the room. Don't be surprised if God grows your capacity for generosity. Ezekiel 36, 26, it lays some groundwork for our spiritual life. Here's what it says. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and replace it or give you a heart of flesh. Now, here's what's beautiful. Ezekiel is actually talking about the law. He's talking about a day and time. He could prophetically see into the future what would come with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that God would actually be writing on the tablets of our heart and would replace a heart of stone with a new heart. So we would naturally live in every arena of our life with this understanding. Seek the Lord, worship the Lord with all your body, with all your heart, with all your soul. We're beginning to step into a layer of relationship with the Lord. Don't be surprised, don't be shocked that if God begins to move you to a space, to a place where it seems like you can't escape Him nudging you and growing your capacity for generosity. And it looks different for each of us along our life's journey. It's not all the same. But God meets us in the place where we are, and He begins to invite us. And I love to remind people, don't be discipled by God in every arena and turn a blind spot to finances. No. Come on, we want all in, don't we? We want all finances, relationships, identity, all family, marriage, friendships, workplace, community, neighborhood, HOA meetings, conversations with lawyers. Come on, you want God in every place. All right. God softens our heart to a heart of generosity, and He will, over time, soften us towards giving. I'm grateful for that work in our lives. Kelly and I have taken some steps. It's just, I don't want to say routine in a casual way. There are things we participate in monthly, every month, but there's also been some growth in other ways. I remember a couple times the Lord has prompted us, quite frankly, it almost always happens when I didn't want to. Like, I don't want to like show up here and be like, oh, this was so easy. That's just so wonderful. No. There's a reason Jesus said you can't serve God and money. Why? Because money wants you to serve it. And some days, I want to serve it. And anyhow, there are these moments along the journey. I remember some conversations we've had. I remember one. It was just a wonderful moment in our marriage. I mean, if you can envision worship music in the background and driving down the road and crying is a wonderful moment. But it was a wonderful moment when the Lord prompted us unknowingly to pay for somebody's mortgage. Just not, let me say this, not their entire mortgage. Okay, let me preface. I'm not opposed to doing that. That I've heard of that. Fantastic. But that wasn't us in that moment. We were newly married and we had some coworkers struggling. And these people weren't beating a drum. It was in 2008. You remember 2008 and the recession. Florida was deeply, deeply influenced and affected. And we had, as newlyweds, not a major, but a little stash. And, you know, as the wonderful pastor, you know, only loving God, I would check that stash daily. And, you know, just wanted to walk in total accountability with my wife. Hey, where did that go? No, I'm kidding. But we were just prompted unknowingly. And we just, wow, what a tender moment for the Lord. What was he doing towards us? He was just expanding our capacity. Expanding our capacity. And don't be surprised if even sometimes on a Sunday morning, God, don't be shocked if God's like, hey, give him 50 bucks. Give him 50 bucks. Hey, why don't you pay for their schooling? Hey, why don't you give him your car? That'd be fun, wouldn't it? I'm not projecting that on you, but be open. Man. Hey, give him your shoes. Hey, why not? You know what I mean? Why not? As children of the beloved God, we know God's so good. We've had God do amazing things in people's lives, in this very room and in the very history of our church. Just these random acts of kindness. Why? Because people understood God's so generous. He's so faithful. And I just love thinking about generosity, and don't be surprised if God grows it. Let me lead you through something really, really quickly. We actually, in our 201 class, we make these little books available called The Giving Ladder. But here's what's helpful. Here's what's helpful is this point's not listed, but know where you are on the generosity ladder. It's always good to be self-aware. And so Nelson Searcy, he wrote what I thought is just a helpful, it's simple, it's pretty concise, but a helpful understanding of kind of where we are. It's good to ask yourself. There's no shame. Hear this. Again, no pressure. There's no guilt. There's no shame. But it's good to reflect. Hey, where am I on this ladder? So the first thing is initial giver. We can move through these rapidly. Someone who's not yet given. Or gives occasionally, what would the next step be? Consider making your first donation or giving again. That's the initial giver. Maybe you're there. Can I tell you, God is so good in that space. I love that space. God is so good to begin priming the pump. Can I tell you a byproduct? A byproduct of being an initial giver and giving? You begin, you'll see this slowly. But surely, God will loosen the chains in your life. And that's not me saying you got chains in your life. But greed is funny. I've noticed it in my own life. Greed is funny. It makes us get funny with money, if I can say that. And God wants to loosen that. He wants to free us so that we can walk in generosity. Initial giver, consistent giver. Maybe this is you, someone who gives a predetermined amount or percentage 6 or more times a year. Well, what's the next step? Well, setting up a recurring gift, maybe online or your bank's online bill pay, including giving in your monthly budget, setting a consistent amount or percentage. Then you have intentional giver. Those are givers who give a percentage of their income monthly. Next step, choose a percentage. Many of you participate in the tithe. The tithe isn't when you give to your local church. No, that's a donation or offering. Tithe is, it's a pretty strategic amount. It's in its original language, it's first fruits, it's 10%. That's the tithe. It's good to know if that's you or if the Lord's like, ooh, let's maybe stretch into that. It's beautiful. Abundant givers are less concerned about the 10 to 15% they give and more concerned about how they can be more generous. Next step, begin making changes in your lifestyle so you can give even more above and beyond the tithe, determining if there are resources God has blessed you with in the past, savings, stock, retirement, real estate, etc., that he is asking you to give or to release as a gift to him. And then this upper ladder, this week I was like, yes, Lord, get me there in Jesus' name. Thank you for growing me there, but you'll get us there. Legacy giver, I love this. Givers are looking to make a long-term impact in the kingdom. They make decisions concerning their business, investments, and lifestyle that will help them be more generous. Gentlemen, a pastor, actually, that I think about when I think about a legacy giver is Rick Warren. Rick Warren, he did the reverse. He started living off 10%. By the way, he did happen to launch a fairly popular book called The Purpose-Driven Life. But the Lord positioned him to do 90% tithe-ish, you know, whatever it's called, legacy, and 10% for himself. I've learned this in my own walk. The Lord will meet me where I want to be. I hope you can get a glimpse of generosity in your life. I know there's a gap from where we are to where we want to be, but Lord, get our eyes up. Wouldn't it be cool to do some of these things for the kingdom of God, for missions, for his future in this region, in our nation, and in our globe? Well, as I said last week, don't just take my word for it. We've got a quick video to encourage you, and then I'll wrap up.
Well, I'm here to talk about, or we are here to talk about, really tithing. People get a little bit edgy about when you start talking about tithing, especially if the pastor starts talking about tithing. But tithing is a principle in the Bible, and I have found that when I started tithing and trusting God, that we never lacked for anything. I mean, God is always, he has always supplied our needs. Even in the times that we felt like we didn't have anything, and now that we've gotten older and we have more, God still supplies whatever he asks us to give. He supplies that need, and he's always been faithful to us.
That is so true. You know, I think for me is that I was very blessed to have a mom that was generous. And so it really wasn't hard for me to bring that into my walk with Christ. Right. And, you know, I think you get tested in these areas because you think, I don't really have anything to give. And I remember a time that when we moved back from Florida, we were in a tough financial situation. And I remember we actually gave a vehicle away before we left because we weren't going to be able to take it with us and we wanted to bless somebody. And so we came back with one vehicle, which was difficult because we had younger kids. And so at that time, because we were going through such financial troubles, I started working part-time and still homeschooling. So while I was at work, I was working for Cracker Barrel at the time. I had somebody come in that was somebody I hadn't seen in a while, and I was just saying, I said, hey, pray for us. We really need another vehicle. Well, not too long after that, they gave us a vehicle. And I had no way of knowing that that was something. And so, you know, not only did God bless us, and it was a better vehicle than we gave away, actually, which was funny. It wasn't like it was a good, dependable vehicle. And then we were able to bless somebody with that later on, too. Right. But, you know, God always supplied our needs. Yeah. You know, we got ourselves in a mess. And even sometimes you might think, oh my goodness, I've got myself in this mess. I remember thinking when we came back from Florida, I focused on Psalm 32 about forgiveness because I felt like I screwed up so bad. Why would the Lord want to bless me? You know, because I didn't handle finances right.
Because you're his child.
Yes.
That's why.
And so God wanted to prove how much he loves us, but he wants us to be generous just like he is, because he's a good father. Mm-hmm. And there's just something he wants to show us, his love. And there's something about being unselfish and giving to somebody else, even if all you can do is do an act for them and right. then build up to, you know, that might lead to something else. Maybe you don't have a job right now, that you know, God can lead to you, even to a job.
Yeah.
You know, so it's amazing there's so much that God wants to do in your life that you don't realize through giving. And it's you know, we don't necessarily give to give back, get back. We give because of the love that we have for the Lord, right. And we show His love by loving on other people. And we do that through the local church, and we do that through other avenues as well.
And God uses us. He doesn't need our money. He told Peter to go down and get that fish to pay the taxes.
Yeah.
And that coin was right in the fish's mouth. So He doesn't need our money.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But He uses us as a conduit to bless other people, yeah. And bless ministries and bless people around the world to help them. So it's important to talk about money in the church. It really is.
I love that story about Peter. And you know where that's at, and you can look it up. But it's just so good because the Lord cared so much that before Peter even asked about that, you know, do we need to give, and that, and mm-hmm. you know, with that story, that He already answered him before he even brought it up.
Right.
And that's how good God is, and that's how much He wants to show His love through giving. We are Angie and Jim Hamilton, and we are so grateful to be part of Hillside Church, our local church.
Yeah, good job. That's awesome. That's right. That's right. Well, Jim and Angie wrapped up the sermon there. They really, without me prompting, I told them when we videoed, you covered the sermon. That's great. Well done. But I loved a couple reference points they make about being a conduit. Can I say this about myself? I have been a conduit of people's generosity over the years of my life, just people's generosity and the power of the local church. And that's really the heart about getting a strength, if you will. One of the things is exercising that participation in giving in a local church. I've found I don't know if it's an official rule. I don't know all the scriptures, but I've found when I'm discouraged, I'll immediately think of two things. Who can I text with an encouragement? And what financial seed can I sow? It's so random, but I have found them to be profound influences in my spiritual life. And I think part of that is they're both part of generosity. One is an encouragement, less about myself. Who can I encourage? You guys do that. You're so generous. And then you also as well, when you give, there's something about getting your eyes off of yourself. I remember years ago at the church I was part of previously, I remember one time during one of their campaigns, I was able to be in a more private setting with the staff. And I remember our pastor saying, look, we've decided to give X amount of dollars as a seed. God knows what we need, but we don't want to just have our eyes on what we need and forget the seed. And I think the enemy sometimes can trap us with discontent in the gap that we see. And part of breaking free from that is giving, stepping into that generosity. It's remarkable. Again, what am I preaching? Five ways to get the most out of church life. Five ways. And this is the second one, being generous. So two last thoughts. Don't be surprised if your spiritual life grows exponentially as you participate in generosity. I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know why, I don't know when, but as Angie said, we don't give to get. That's never an appropriate response. I've coached my daughters, my eldest I've coached on this, and I said, no, honey, I want you to decide, but I want you to know this, it's not a have to. It's not that with God. Nothing we do with God is a have to. It's a get to with God. And I get to participate in this. And so, you know, I know I'm just planting seeds in her life. But that's part of that because religiosity, it looks at, here's what religion does. Maybe some of you have heard of this. Maybe some of you have heard of the arc of the church history. On our ugliest, sickest, darkest days as a Christian faith, there were some who shall remain nameless. It happened centuries ago, by the way, so it's not current. Who said, you can buy your way to forgiveness. And I'm boldly declaring to you, that's a lie from the pit of hell. To confuse people, confuse people about the love of God, I want you to know this. If you never, never give to the kingdom of God again, hear this. That won't change God's heart of love towards you. It's not a have to. It's not a have to. That's a lie. If you've ever had a pastor say you can grow in your, well, I will say that. You can grow in your relationship with God through generosity. Absolutely. Absolutely. One of the most profound ways I've ever experienced spiritual maturity is in generosity. But it's a get to. It's never a have to. It's never a have to. The Lord sees the initial giver all the way to the legacy giver. He's smiling with a heart full of love towards them. It's not a have to. It's I get to. So don't be surprised if you grow exponentially in your spiritual walk. Don't be surprised if that happens. And also, don't be surprised if you begin to experience some abnormal blessings. I will say that. That's a promise out of Proverbs chapter 3. And we'll close with this. Proverbs chapter 3, 9 through 10. If you want to know some of the promises of God over your life, there's several before this verse and several after. And it says this. Honor the Lord. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. That's just the nature of who God is and what he invites us into. It's the same as last week, and it's the same as these next three. If you participate, you'll be amazed at what you experience in your walk with the Lord. Just absolutely amazed. And I make no promises like Jim and Angie, they gave a car, received a car. That's not how it always works, okay? But can I tell you, if you were to talk to them, they would talk about the freedom, they'd talk about the peace. They would talk about the spiritual, intangible blessings before the material blessings. God is so good, isn't he? And he's so generous towards us. We close in a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for this moment, Lord. As we grow, as we remind ourselves, God, of some practices that you instilled, God, that you started. God, as Jim said on a video, Lord, you do not need our money. But you need our hearts. And nothing comes after the heart like money, God. And so you set up giving as a way to break the chains of the pressure. Of the pressure, God, to strive, to earn. Lord, you've opened the doors that we might receive from you. So, Father, have our hearts again in this area of giving, of generosity, Lord. Continue to foster within us a generosity, Lord, for others, for your kingdom. Father, that as Jesus taught us, Lord, we would not treasure things on earth. But Lord, we would store riches in heaven. Thank you, God, for your generosity towards us. Thank you for your love towards us. And we just turn to you again, God. Have your way in our lives. Have your way in this moment, Lord. We thank you for your love, your peace, your mercy in Jesus' holy name. Just with our eyes closed, we want to switch gears, quick pivot. Maybe he came in today. It wasn't about the sermon. It wasn't about the worship. It wasn't about the prayer. God has been knocking on the door of your heart. And you know that you know that you know he's been inviting you to do life with him, to welcome him in. If that's you, I want to lead you in the start of that relationship. Every relationship starts with a conversation. And I want to let you know God is the safest place in the world. He's the safest person in the world, and he loves you wholeheartedly. And if you're looking to start that relationship, would you say this simple prayer with me? Dear God, I need you. Forgive me of all my sin. I recognize Jesus as the Savior of the world, the way, the truth, and the life. And I invite him into my life now to be my Lord, my Savior, and King. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.